Hello and welcome to our broadcast today. We're looking in Nehemiah chapter 10. Have your Bible ready if you can. Last program, we saw in verse number 38 of the previous chapter that God's people said, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it." Verse 1 of chapter 10 says, "Now those that sealed were," and it goes down here all the way down to verse number 27, and it lists the people who were going to take part in this covenant to do things God's way. As we go down through this chapter, we see the first thing that they were coveting to do had to do with separation, verse number 28 and 30. And then number 2, the Sabbath, verse number 31. And then obedience to the word of God, verses 32 to 36. And then they had much to say about how they handled their money, verses 37 to 39. In verse 28, we read, "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nephilims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding." What an interesting verse. The results of a genuine Bible revival is that the people and everybody, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, everybody, had a desire to do God's will and to do it God's way. And so it says they separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God. This includes, as we see, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, and everyone having knowledge and understanding. Now, as they separate themselves unto the law of God, the byproduct of that is knowledge and understanding. Verse 29 says, "They," that is the people, "clave to their brethren," their nobles, "and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law." They were not only going to walk in God's law, and then, by the way, it's the walk, not the talk. Talk is cheap. They're going to walk in God's law, but they're also going to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord and the judgments and the statutes. Now, the commandments, this is basically the constitution on which God sets things up. This word is used quite often in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1 and 5, it says God would have mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Nehemiah 1 and 7, Nehemiah prayed and said, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments." Nehemiah 9 and 16 says, "They hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments." 9 and 29 says, "They dealt proudly and hearkened not unto God's commandments." And then in 34 it says, "Neither hearken we unto thy commandments." And then Nehemiah 10 and 29, they are taking an oath to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord. Then he talks about judgments. He says in Nehemiah 1 and 7, "We have not kept the judgments of God." And Nehemiah 9 and 27, "They've sinned against God's judgments." And here in 10 and 29, they are taking an oath to observe to do all the judgments of the Lord. Now, the judgments are what God judges, what God decides. Either God is going to have his way, or I'm going to decide to have my own way in my life. And they are taking an oath here that they are going to do what God decides they should do rather than what they want to do themselves. And then it talks about the statutes. Verse 10 and 29 says they took an oath to observe to do awe of his statutes. Now, his statutes basically is decreed limits. We would call those standards. And so as they go down through this portion of Scripture, the first thing they dealt with was separation, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Then they deal with how they would handle the Sabbath, it says in verse 31, and if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Then he continues here for quite a while talking about money. Verse 32, also we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. For the shewbread, it says, 32, for the continual meat offering, for the continual burnt offerings of the Sabbath, for the set feasts, for the holy things, for the sin offerings, and for all the work of the house of God. They are going to pay their way. Then he talks about material things, verse 35. They're going to bring the first fruits of the ground, the first fruit of all the trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord. And they end this portion of Scripture in the end of verse 39, saying, we will not forsake the house of our God. As we get into chapter 11, we read that the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of ten to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and nine parts to dwell in other cities. Verse 2 says, and the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now what is happening here is that most of the people who returned from Babylon settled in surrounding villages that were scattered around the area. Jerusalem was a mess. It was just a mess. They couldn't live there. And so they were settling in these other villages. Well, now they are casting lots to see who would move to Jerusalem. Somebody needed to get in there. The Bible says here in Nehemiah that the people in Jerusalem were few. And so some of them made the sacrifice to leave everything and to move. Verse number 1 says they cast lots to see who would go in to Jerusalem. And verse number 2 talks about those that willingly offered themselves to move to Jerusalem. This was a tremendous sacrifice for them to leave everything and to move, but they were willing to live where God wanted them to live. And they understood that the cause was more important than the comforts of life. So faithfulness was one of the important things that was happening here as a result of the revival that took place. Faithfulness is more important than fortune. And so in this portion of Scripture, God records their names because every individual who has ever done anything for God, God notices it. Years ago, there was a pioneer missionary by the name of William Carey, and he was a cobbler before he left for the mission field. He would keep a map of India before him in his shop and stopping every once in a while to study it, because he longed to go there and to preach the gospel. He did a lot of preaching and teaching on the side, with the result that his trade began to dwindle. And one day a friend told him that he needed to quit neglecting his business. Neglecting my business? Carey said. My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to pay the expenses. As we get into chapter 12, we have another very lengthy list of people here that were involved in what was happening. Verse 37 on down through this chapter, we see how this meeting was taking place. And one of the things we notice here in verse 43, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced for all that God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. The verse continues that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Well, when you get in line with the things of God, you're going to be happy. It's just that simple. Well, after 12 years as governor of Jerusalem, Nehemiah returned to Persia, and during his absence, things began to decay. We're going to look at that in our next program. Be sure and tune in.